I don't know if this is an Aquarian thing, but I've always had my mind on the clock, the big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And instead of that being a driving force of fear, it's always been a driving force of life.
Welcome to the Astrology Hub podcast. I'm Amanda Poole Walsh, founder of Astrology Hub and your host for our flagship show. We explore the many ways astrology can support you in your relationships, career, health, and personal growth. Thanks for tuning in.
If you're an Aquarius, or if you have strong Aquarius placements in your chart, if you'd love to understand the Aquarius energy more fully, because all of us are embarking upon the age of Aquarius, and or if there's an Aquarian in your life that you'd love to understand better, today's episode is for you. This episode is something I've been wanting to do for a very long time. You see, there are people in my life that to me are textbook embodiments of zodiac or planetary archetypes. They are literally poster children for their zodiac sign. Whenever I meet people like this, I often say, if there was an astrological encyclopedia, your picture would be posted right next to your particular sign. And there is so much we can learn from simply observing, asking questions, and getting to know people who are living, breathing embodiments of particular zodiacal qualities. And since we're in Aquarius season, I wanted to do our first poster child episode on the Aquarius archetype. And whenever I think of Aquarius, I think of my brother, Patrick. No, he is not an astrologer, just an extraordinary human being who has his sun, rising, Mercury, Venus, and Pallas all in Aquarius. So he's embodying a lot of Aquarian energy. He also has 9 total planets in air signs, further amplifying his Aquarian essence. And even though the canvas upon which Patrick creates the art of his life is seemingly ordinary, football, he does it in the most extraordinary and, to me, Aquarian ways. He's the winningest high school football coach at the high school he coaches at, where former players like Tom Brady attended, leading young men to be both great athletes and quality human beings by emphasizing something you don't hear a whole lot of football coaches talking about, which is love in everything they do. He was named the California State Coach of the Year in 2020, not only because of his school's performance in football, but also because of the leadership role he played in the Let Them Play movement, working with California state government agencies and helping to liberate thousands of young adults all across the state who were idle and isolated in their homes to safely participate in their beloved sports during the very trying times that we all went through. He's also the co-founder of Next Level Sports, providing 50,000 kindergarten through eighth grade boys and girls across 15 states the opportunity to play flag football, basketball, and volleyball. He is always bringing people together. For you astrology students out there, I'd love you to share what Aquarian qualities you pick up on in the way Patrick speaks, shares, and lives his life. You can put those in the comments. I would love to see what you notice. And if you like this type of episode, let us know so we can find and interview more poster children for all of the zodiac signs. Without further ado, I invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy today's Aquarian poster child episode. Patrick, my brother.
Hi, Puma.
Hi, welcome to the Astrology Hub podcast. And nobody in the entire world knows me as Puma, which right. Maybe we'll get to that. One of the things that Patrick is pretty notorious for is coming up with nicknames for everyone in his life, and they always evolve. Like they start at one name, but then it has a life of its own. So Puma is one of those. It has definitely had an evolution. But Patrick, I'd love to start here with how would you say that people describe you? Like what qualities would you say that people would use to describe you?
That's a great question. And I've actually, how I'm perceived by others is something that, frankly, I don't spend a lot of time on. But it's something that in a weird, strange way, I've been thinking about recently. As a matter of fact, my wife, Lindsay, is reading a book about sending an email to 10 of your closest people asking that very question. And that's like how you, like, if you really want to improve and do some self-discovery and ask the people that you love the most how they perceive you. So it's good timing in that sense, because I've been kind of waffling on whether or not I want to embark on that journey. Because once you go there, it's like, okay, you have to be in that state of mind and in wherever you're at in your life to actually make the changes from the perceived strengths and weaknesses of others. So that's a long way of saying, I would think that the first word that would probably come to most people's minds that they perceive me would probably be a leader. I've always been a leader. I've always been in leadership positions. I've always been the captain of the teams that I've played on. And, you know, so I would say that's first and foremost. The second one I would say is he's a competitor. And that probably comes, depending on who's being asked, with some good and bad things. Because competition can get dicey at times. So, and then from the people that I think know me the most, I would say extremely considerate and a someone who's a community builder. You know, someone who likes to draw people together, likes to bring people together for whatever cause that may be at that time.
Why community? Like, why is that important to you? Because I mean, I've noticed that you draw people around you no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. It's like you're this magnet for community and for people feeling included. You're really good at that. Why is that so important to you?
Well, I think that's what gives me life. I beat my life source, my energy source, is from others and from the love of others, to be honest with you. Not necessarily the love that they give to me, but me seeing love grow in their life, in their lives. So if I know that love is growing in their lives and I see people around me that are happy and people that have joy, or we're listening to music together or watching a game together or competing together, or I see in the business that I run a community of people celebrating their children, that just brings joy to me. That gives me the energy that I need to continue and the purpose that I need to continue the next day or the next step in my life. So I don't, it's just an inherent quality of mine, or inherent in myself, Amanda, that I need. It's a need thing. So in 2020, I won't mention it by name, but we all know what happened in 2020. I lost that life force. That was the number one thing that was stripped away, like stay away from everyone, like, And I just had the worst time with that. So, coming out of those, that kind of darkness, has reaffirmed that kind of purpose in my life to bring people together, to see them grow and become the best versions of themselves. And that is the joy and that I get out of life, to be honest with you.
When you are creating community, do you always feel like you're a part of it, or is it more witnessing it in them? Like, do you always feel included in that community, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I would say mostly I feel excluded, which is strange. And there's a scene in Shawshank Redemption, which if anyone's listening out there has not watched Shawshank Redemption, it is mandatory homework from this podcast. And or you can read the book. If you're a book reader, you can read, I think it's Rita Hayworth or Haywood, something like that, and the Shawshank Redemption. And it's actually written by Stephen King. It's fantastic. But anyway, there's a moment in that book, or in that scene in the movie, where Andy Dufresne in prison arranges a beer drinking moment for his friends when they were swabbing the tar on the top of a roof. And he worked it out with the warden where they could get beer for that moment just after they were done with the work. And he sat back in the corner and watched the whole thing. I see myself as Andy Dufresne in that moment, in many of the things that I do in my life, including coaching football, or running a youth sports program, is just sitting back and seeing it all unfold in front of me is more joyful than actually drinking the beer myself.
Mm. So for you being quote unquote excluded, the way you said it, it's not a bad thing. It just, it is. And it actually is, you actually like it.
I actually like it. I feel some constraints or a small level of anxiety when I'm a part of something that I've created that way. For example, if my football team wins a championship, like I'm never in the championship picture.
Mm.
Just, I don't think that's my time. It's their time. So I don't, it's definitely not something that, I feel a loss of, or that there's something missing from it. It's just something that I feel more a proud, or at least honor, in standing away from it and watching it unfold for others. That, to me, the real joy is seeing others celebrate their joy.
Mm.
So that exclusionary feeling, and I think probably you're right, probably exclusion's the wrong word. It's more like just a different vantage point of something beautiful that's happening in front of me.
You're a witness to it, but it's like you're a witness to something that you played a part in creating. And so for you, you get to celebrate what you're witnessing. You get to celebrate your creation. It's almost like a artist standing back from their painting. They're not in the painting, but they're admiring the painting. There's so much joy in that. I mean, Aquarius can be seen as detached, like emotionally detached. Do you feel like people ever think that about you, that you're sort of like detached emotionally?
I can see that that some people could probably say that about me, that I'm, you know, it could be construed as, not that I don't care, because I think there's a difference. I can see a detachment from it, but I think most people know it. It's not because I don't care.
Mm.
It's maybe because I care too much.
Mm.
And that there's a certain level of detachment that I need to have from it so it can flourish on its own. I also know that the true things that happen in groups and communities happen at the deepest, the bottom level, the bottom layer. That is where the life form is. Like if you look at a fire, the strength of the fire is the bottom. The top of the fire is the beautiful flames and everything looks at. But the strength of the fire is at the bottom of it. That's where the heat is and the fuel and the energy that fuels the flames that come up. And that's kind of the where I like to sit. I like to sit and flame the bottom of the fire, fan those flames so everything else can grow around it. And I think for leaders, a lot of leaders try to be the fire. They're in the fire. They become the fire. I think it's too much. I mean, there's a lot of coaches that and coaches, that word, even I'm a high school football coach by trade. But coach is a word that can be like a mom in the house is a coach. Like, you know, anyone that's a leader is a coach. So I believe as a coach, we are the ones that are creating the environment.
Yeah.
And if the environment is a dictatorship, it's not going to be a fluid, beautiful environment.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, having the kind of the belief structure that the more I get away from it, but still build the bottom of the fire, the bigger the flames can be.
Mm, I love that. I have known you my whole life, obviously. And one thing that is so true about you is that you have always march to the beat of your own drum. You've always been just a highly unique individual. Tell us a little bit about that. Do you try to do that? Is that just who you are? Like, just talk to us about being marching to the beat of your own drum.
Well, I think the fellow Aquarius listeners to this know that we are the best. I was reading the positives and negatives of the Aquarian, and I'm like, the negatives are pretty positive. This is great. since we are being navigated by the stars here, I have to throw some Aquarian love out to my fellow Aquarians out there.
So good.
So that one of the negatives is Aquarians like may act that way and behave that way and think they're separate and all that. I've read that too. So that's, that is part of the negative, right? I get that. I think there's a level of this for the negative side of this, for me, this has been an innate thing for me my whole life. And it's not something that I've studied, or I'm kind of a normal human when it comes to this world, I'd say, right, Puma? But I really love my relationship with the planet, with the stars, with particularly the moon. I'm extremely attracted to the moon. The Luna is like part of me. But this concept of beating to my own drum has led to some kind of feelings of claustrophobia. And what I mean by that is, maybe others have felt the same way, is if I feel constrained or shackled, or I got to sit in a classroom for a long time, or, I have a certain job that makes me do things in a certain rhythm, I get very claustrophobic. Now I can stand in an elevator and I can plane. So I don't mean claustrophobia in this way. I mean world claustrophobia. And if I don't feel like I am in an environment that I can be the best version of myself and have the freedom to create, then I feel drastically claustrophobic in the world. And I don't know if others feel that way, but, and I think that's, I think getting back to your point, that's why I've always beat to my own drum, because I don't see any other way. I feel like a trapped lion if I'm in a situation that I cannot beat to my own drum.
It makes me think of the children out there who might not have been supported in that. So I'm just thinking of Aquarian children. And thankfully, luckily, you and I had the best parents ever. And I know one of the things our mom wanted to do was, she recognized that we were all individuals. She recognized that we were all different from each other. There's four of us in our family. And I feel like we were really supported to be who we are. We were encouraged to be who we are. But if you were an Aquarian child who was made to conform and made to really like be in that box, how uncomfortable that would be. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that, because you work with kids.
Yes.
And you probably see a lot of different parenting approaches and a lot of different children reacting or responding to their parents. I don't know if you have any thoughts or reflections on that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And I think the avenue that has always connected with me directly has been extracurriculars or co-curriculars, things that happen after school, things that happen after 2 o'clock, after 2:30, after 3 o'clock, where I could go out and truthfully, I mean, if you think about the United States educational system, it's 300 years old or something. It's, and I know many people that listen to this are doing different things, and I think that's great. And I've been a part of a school for 23 years that, you know, we have 30 chairs in a room and the guy talks in the whiteboard, and there's some magic to that too. But for me, the true magic happened after school for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for parents to understand that there are certain things that we might have to do for our children to get them to the next step. But providing the avenue of expression after school is equally as important as what happens from 8 to 2. And for me, that was sports.
Mm. Yeah.
And seeing a baseball field or a football field or just having that expression. And a lot of some kids do it through music and whatever. I think parents need to hammer those things. Whatever. I think I'm not a great dad. I do the best I can, but I think one of the things that I adopted as a parent early for my two boys was whatever their passions and enthusiasm were, I was going to chase it, because I know that that's where they're going to grow into life. Mm-hmm. And if I was to put some sort of structure over it and pin them down, then they'll just revolt. And if they revolt, they could revolt in certain awful ways. And I never wanted that. Mm-hmm. But I think that's very important, is to allow expressions of your kids through whatever that is. And parents need to get out of the way of those expressions, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Patrick is very humble. He's an amazing dad to two awesome boys that I absolutely adore. So he's an amazing dad. Okay. Just what you just said. I mean, that alone, if that's the one thing that any of us can do as parents, is to encourage that individuality. That one of the things that astrology shows us is that each person is literally as unique as their fingerprints. They come to the planet with an entire purpose and mission and gifts and talents they're wired for. And then we try to like put them in these boxes that totally disregard the unique wiring that they were given, that's divine. So we interfere with all that. So one of the things that you've done, so you're a high school football coach, and you've also created one of the biggest, if not the biggest, I don't know, youth sports programs like in the country.
Yeah.
And you've done things in a really unique way. Can you give a few examples of some of the things that you do as a football coach, for example, or you do as the founder of Next Level Sports that is unique, is individual to the way that you see the world and the things that you want to foster in the environment that you create?
Yes. I would say at the center of every decision, in these areas that I am making on a daily basis, I use the four-letter word that is the most powerful four-letter word on the planet, and that's love. And for a football coach, or for someone who's embraced in sports and competitive culture, one would think maybe that runs against the river, if you will. But for us, it is the river. And that word love fuels everything that I do, the interactions that I have with parents of players that play for me at Sarah High School, parents that register for Next Level Sports, that love their kid, that sign them up. You know, nobody forces that person to do that. There is love behind those decisions. And it's, for me, if the center of everything that I do is always centered in love, then only positive things can come from it. Because the opposite of love is fear. And a lot of people go through life afraid, and they make decisions based in fear, and that leads to more fear and more anxiety. And that's just not a great way to center oneself. So for me, if I'm thinking of a commonality in everything that I do, it starts with that love. And then that love sprinkles out into the football team, and love for one another, and love for your teammates, and sportsmanship. And then when you're competing, and we all compete, whether I don't care what job you're in, we're all competing for something. Okay. And if I'm competing with a team that loves each other against a team that basically is working in fear, we're going to win every single time. Even if we lose on the scoreboard, we're still winning because we're building deeper roots and deeper relationships that are going to last a lifetime. No matter what happens at the end of this whole thing, we're all going to end up in the same place. I recently read something that really struck me very deeply, and it was a generational thought. And it was like, the next generation is going to remember me. The next generation may remember me, but the generation after that probably will not remember me. And I started to think of that in real current terms. And I don't know if this is an Aquarian thing, but I've always had my mind on the clock, the big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And instead of that being a driving force of fear, it's always been a driving force of life. So if I know that clock is going to strike, and at that point, I'm going to leave this planet, I'm going to transition, what did I do during that time? I think it's a fair statement to ask. And if that during that time, it's centered around love and building relationships, what more can we ask for? I can't take this Ferrari, which I don't have, with me. But I'm just saying, it doesn't mean anything. It really, really means nothing. Like, Manda, do you know our great, great, great grandfather?
No, I don't even know his name.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So like, to me, that's not a fearful thing. And I think it's something that it unchains me. And it's like, oh, wow. So this little incident that I'm having right now is going to mean that much. In a few generations, I don't even know I existed. So it's kind of like, I'm going to take this moment, take a deep breath, center it, apply love to it, and move on with the next challenge.
Picture this. You step into the new year, not just with a list of resolutions, but with a pocket full of insights from the stars that help you make choices about timing, direction, and focus. Put together by an all-star cast of our best astrologers, our free 2024 Astrology Blueprint is more than predictions. It's your personal cosmic playbook for the whole year. Think of it as a chat with the universe, a way to catch those sparks of clarity that light up your journey. It's about syncing up with the stars and making the most of every moment. Consider it our holiday gift to you. And here's to a year of tapping into cosmic wisdom and personal power. Let's make 2024 a year to remember together. Get your free copy at astrologyhub.com/2024guide.
So you just, any astrology lovers out there caught this when you said, I don't know if this is an Aquarian thing, but I've always been aware of time. Yes. And like the big time, the time of like this incarnation. Saturn rules Aquarius and Saturn is the father of time.
Oh, wow.
So you, it's like Saturn is the timekeeper. Some people call him the Grim Reaper or whatever. But what you said is to me, again, one of the reasons why you're my Aquarian poster child is because you are expressing the highest possibility of that awareness of time. You could use that to make you feel afraid or to make you live in fear your whole life and to, you know, be pushing away death. But instead, you're using that to fuel life. And that to me, again, is just a beautiful expression of the awareness of the constraints of this human incarnation.
Yeah.
And this third dimension, which Saturn rules. Saturn creates the time constraints, you know? So amazing. Okay. Yeah. So you mentioned love. And of course, love as a football, I've heard Patrick interviewed. He gets interviewed all the time. He's definitely some type of celebrity in California. I don't even know how to call you, but he gets interviewed all the time. And he is being interviewed after football games. He's being interviewed about upcoming football games. And he's always talking about love. And I read these interviews and I go, yes, you are awesome. Nobody does that. Like, it's so great. That's such a great expression of your individuality. What else? There's other things you do that are very unique. Can you tell us other things that you do in the work that you do, in the way that you live your life, that some might consider unique?
Yeah. Well, this is where things get kind of, like, this is where my humility kind of catches me off guard, if you will, because even you and I are joking, like, I don't know if anyone's going to listen to this, which is okay. I know you and I are having a great time. And that there was one quote you said a long time ago, where if 3 people listen to us, it's great. If 30, if 3 million, if 30 million, it doesn't matter.
Awesome.
Right. So I like one thing that I think is something that I'm known for, or that makes me a little bit different, is my focus. I would say my focus, and like when I want to do something, I'm going to do it. Nothing's going to stop me. Mm. And usually that focus is driven by love or some purpose that is to benefit others.
Mm.
Okay. I also like to think, and this is where you I had a reading. Thanks to you, I had this wonderful reading. And
with Linda Bird, by the way. Linda Bird. Yes.
Linda Bird was amazing. Oh my gosh. She was the best. And she's looking at these charts and doing all these numbers. And again, a lot of your folks, the listeners, are like, this is what you guys, me, I don't do that. I was just like listening to Linda. And she goes, I've never seen anyone with more air in your chart.
9 planets in air.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what does that mean? 9 planets in air. That means, for me, the way I've always translated that is God gave me the ability to take very, very complex human issues and make them simple.
Hmm.
I like, one of the phrases I like to use is 1 + 1 = 2.
Hmm.
And I feel like when it comes to difficult human interactions, God has given me the ability to take that and make it a 1 + 1 = 2 situation. Like, wait, I see you're struggling here. But this is actually very simple, isn't it? And then boom, whatever the solution is, it comes out very easy for me. Mm-hmm. So I would say that is definitely something, I don't know if that's an Aquarian thing either, but that's that's something I'm good at.
Absolutely. I mean, so you have a very brilliant mind. You also have a Gemini moon, and that is like definitely a signature of, and Gemini's air as well. But a signature of that is that ability to just take all these complex ideas and synthesize them and put them, make them into one, you know? When you say love, what do you mean? Because there's such a misconception on that word. You know, I think people automatically think romantic love. People automatically think intimate love. Like, what do you mean by love? When you say love is the center point of everything you do, love is the center point of your team, you know, creative fire around love, what do you mean?
Okay. Well, first of all, we can start at the very top. And at the very top, you can look at someone and say, I love you. Mm. Okay. I love your effort. Mm. I love what you did. I love that you brought coffee this morning.
Mm.
That starts the love of the team.
Yeah.
Love also says, I see you. I see you. I hear you. I am validating your effort. That is the simplest way of building the bottom of the fire, is by simply noticing the things that people are doing around you and that people are doing for you or for us or for the team. A simple reflection of, for example, we got water today. Came in the office, magically showed up. Four things of water. And I went to the person responsible and I said, I recognize the fact that you bring water to this office. Not a lot of people like would say that. They just expect the water to be there. So look around. What is happening? There's magic happening every single moment of every single day. The fact that the sun comes up and the sun goes down is a miracle every single day. I mean, we're traveling through space at hundreds of thousands of miles an hour. Whoa. Whoa. I mean, we're going 100,000 miles an hour or something, you know, like a million Earths can fit inside the sun. Like there's magic everywhere if you're willing to look at it. And then you boil it down to humanity and you look at the magic of just, you know, childbirth itself is magic. It's just, it's love sitting right there for us. And then carrying that love of your child or love of, you know, if that person was a child at one point through everyday life is a simple thing for me. I think it's something that each one of us on this call can do.
Perfect. What do you think makes human life precious?
Well, it's finite. Like if some weird God came down and said, you can live forever, I would deny that. Because it would take away the concept of the big clock. It wouldn't allow us to cherish the moments that we have because every moment we have is fleeting. The flip side of that is I have a deep issue with nostalgia. Like I need to work on that. I cannot think about the past. The cost of the present is the past. I cannot think about the past. It just... You know, like my kids love to watch old Christmas movies and, you know, old home family videos. I'm out. I love it. I'm not hating on it, but the fact that that moment's gone, and will never be retrieved is something that it's meant to be in the past. So
that's an interesting thought. And I'm wondering if some of the Aquarian detachment that we were talking about before, or how Aquarians can be perceived as detached. And you said, it's not because I don't care, it's because I care so much. I wonder if other Aquarians can relate to that. And maybe they do cut off their past and maybe they do like close the door and they don't look back, but it's not because they don't care, it's because they care so much.
Yeah, it's a legitimate painful experience for me. And I'll, you know, there'll be times where I'll break down and like watch the old Christmas video when Santa brought the dog and it's just like, oh my gosh, it's just, as time marches forward, you know, it just brings a certain level of, I don't have any regret. I think that'd be a very, very strong word, but it is the yin and yang of the understanding of time, that I grapple with all the time. And I think maybe the fuel of living so hard in the present, because I love hard and live hard. And that's expressed, Amanda, you know me, that's come out in different ways of expressions, both positively, extremely positively, but also extremely negatively. And I know sometimes Aquarians can wrestle with that. You know, I have had issues with alcohol, where I've you know, like I'm the best drinker you'll ever see. You'll love the hell out of me drinking with me. I'm just great. You'll love it. I love it. Everyone loves it. We're having the greatest time ever until it's not the greatest time. So there's, you know, I want to project too that life can be hard. But it also, as we navigate this difficult world together, if we're centered in the four letter word of love, I think that's the most peaceful spot to govern from.
Mm. What do you think about the future? Are you hopeful? Are you optimistic? What do you think about the future?
So that's a great question. The word that jumped into my mind is unity. So I don't really care. All I know is where I'm going within it. And the only place I'm going within this future is in a unified front with unity, and which also could be probably used as love next to it. I will not engage in anything that divides me from my people ever again. And when I mean my people, I mean everybody. I don't care what color, what race, what political party you're in. If something's happening that's dividing me from someone else, I'm gonna shut it down. I'm gonna say we're being divided right now, and I'm not gonna allow it. We are together because we are one. We came from the same place, and we're ending up at the same place. So we are going to live together at this moment. You know, we don't have to. We're not the same, and we can be different and have different ideas. But for me, the future, in my future, which is the only thing I care about, and this sounds very selfish, but it's going to be unified. I'm just going to tell you where I'm not going to go, because I've played the other side where it's like I've been caught, you know, like I've banned CNN and Fox and every news. I've banned it all for my life. It's gone. Because the only reason why I think those things exist for me now is to divide me from other people. And I'm not doing that anymore. So that's out. Okay. Anything that unites is in. Anything that divides is out. That's the future. Let me just keep it simple.
Oh, amazing. You are blending the best of Aquarius with your neighbor sign, the best of Pisces.
Okay.
Because Pisces is all about unity. I mean, I also think Aquarius, it's that vision that, you know, some people call it utopia, but is it really utopia, or is it just what we know is possible? What we know is possible. It's, you know, it doesn't have to be, and like you said, it doesn't have to be everyone joins hands and sings kumbaya and agrees on everything and is all the same. In fact, it's the opposite of that, that everyone is individual and unique and we're united.
And I respect your point. I hear you. May not agree with you, but I respect what you're saying.
Yeah.
That could unite us.
Yeah. Well, and I respect your right to say it.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. I expect your right to say it. And
yeah.
You know, as long as it's not harming, disparaging words towards me or anyone else, then you have a right to your opinion. But I'm with you 100% on that. It's what I try to inspire the people on this call to do in your office. Why do I have to wait for the CEO, whatever that is, to tell me how the future is going to be? Mm. It's the same concept, right? Like, why do I got to wait for the boss, whatever the boss is of the world, to tell me how my future is going to be? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you how my future is going to be. I mean, and that's the same thing with someone walking through the door in the office. I'm going to tell you how this culture is going to be in this office today in a peaceful way, not like, you know, hey, I'm the boss, and I'm like in a weird way, but in a peaceful, spiritual way, this is how my day is going to be. Mm-hmm. This is how our future is going to be. And we can bend our future around what we need it to be. Okay. And every ingredient that's behind what I'm saying is the ingredients of love, humility, brotherhood, sisterhood, community, ohana, family, boom, boom, boom. Tap into that, right? And that's our future. That is the future, or at least the future I'm going to live in.
Oh, I always think of the Aquarian constellation, the water bearer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, you know, it's water, but I like to think of it as stars. So it's like literally the most purest transmission from the stars and the intelligence of that language of light. It's light. That's what it is. Just getting poured down on humanity. Just like, you know, and that's what you're doing in this, just in this podcast. It's like that language of light, the language of love, just pouring and cascading through you. And thank you, Patrick. It's just, do you see why I love my brother? Oh my God. So precious. Patrick, one more question. If you had a megaphone and you could shout one message to the entire world, what would it be?
Love thy neighbor. Keep it simple. I mean, just put it on repeat, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't want to beat it too much, but it's just so, it's so easy. 1 + 1 = 2. If we can all just govern our lives and center ourselves around loving our neighbor, love thy neighbor might be the three most strongest conceptual words put together. Everything would go away. Mm. Every human, in my opinion, every human pain would go away because we would learn how to coexist together. The issues that we have, is usually rooted in ego and a bunch of crazy things that tear us apart that aren't centered in love. So love thy neighbor, get it on the loudspeaker and go. But before you cut me off, we have to tell people why you're called Puma. And this is very important because my sister, in her greatness, unplugged and moved to Hawaii and made her own reality, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And now here she is. Just absolutely, I'm astonished by, I'm actually not surprised because you're amazing. But the fact that you did things that many people say, in my next life, I'm going to do this. Well, you didn't wait for your next life. You did it this life. And that might be the biggest gift you can give to anyone on this call or that you're doing in your life. Is inspiring people to be the best they can be in this life. We don't have to wait. This is, and you know what? You're not too old. You like whatever the time we have left, that moment you can make it better. And Mander, you're doing that on a day-to-day basis. Part of that journey that I know of is that you, and you can correct the story here if wrong. But you used hula and the sacred dance and rituals of hula, right? You were given a name by your kumu,
yeah,
by your kumu, which is an ancestral, basically spirit of the gods that teaches hula, which is way more than just a dance. Okay, so Manda's nickname became Pua, which I believe means flower.
Right. The full name is Pua Maiole, which means the flower that never fades.
Wow, beautiful. Okay, and those flowers behind you are beautiful. Those will never. Okay. But the problem with the shortened word Amanda Pua Walsh is that Siri doesn't like the word Pua. So when I said call Pua, it didn't recognize it. So then I'm like, oh man, well, I need to make this happen. So then if I put an M on it, I said call Puma, Siri would recognize it and hence your nickname Puma.
And this is how it goes. And in a year, it'll be something different.
Correct.
It will be an another evolution. Patrick, thank you so much. I hope that you're all enjoying this. This was a thought. What if we illustrated zodiac signs by people who are kind of the quintessential of that sign? And Patrick, to me, again, when I think Aquarius, I think Patrick. And so to have him here and just for us to be able to experience the world through his lens, which I think is one of the most beautiful things about the zodiac, is it covers all the spectrums. And so if we can just listen, like you said earlier, Patrick, if we can just listen to the perspective of the world through each fractal, you know, we're all just fractals of the same thing, then we will just have such a beautiful tapestry, a beautiful symphony, whatever word you want to use. And so to be able to experience Aquarius and the way you see the world and the way you think about things and the things that motivate you and drive you and inspire you and the things that that you fear or that are hard for you or challenging. This helps us understand each other better. This helps us understand ourselves better. And so I just want to thank you for just your very vulnerable and honest and transparent sharing. And I just love you so much. Thank you.
I love you too, sis.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Let us know if you liked this episode. Leave some comments, leave some questions. I'll give the link to Patrick so he can answer questions if you have any questions for him.
That'd be great.
And we'd love to engage with you. Patrick creates community everywhere he goes. So let's have a little community around this podcast episode. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being a part of our community. And thank you, as always, for making astrology a part of your life. I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode.
This podcast is presented by Astrology Hub. You can learn more and find all of our shows at astrologyhub.com/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes and help more people find the wisdom of astrology. Thank you for taking the time to do this now. Thank you for being a part of our community and for making astrology a part of your life.